For the past 6 days, we have been here gathered together at the feet of our Master to learn of Him. And as we have done so, we have had a very beautiful week together. It's been a good week, hasn't it? I'm glad you agree. I wouldn't have known what to say if you didn't. It's been an interesting week. Being in a new location, it's always a little bit, there's always some trepidation and fear, I think, when you go to a new place. When you get a new car, a new home, go to a new convention site. And we maybe had our little problems this week. Maybe certain things weren't as we would have liked them to be. And maybe we had a murmur now and then. But you know, one murmur I didn't hear at all this week was concerning the spiritual proceedings of this convention. I heard no murmuring about what came forth from this platform. I heard no murmuring about our testimonies. I heard no complaints about our fellowship together. And that's the important thing, isn't it? The reason that we were here was spiritually related. And those reasons, reasons that we were here have been fully satisfied, we believe. A couple of months ago, when we were asked to prepare a closing talk for this convention, we began to think about what we might say as a way of a message to conclude this gathering together. And one day, as I was just kind of flipping through the scriptures, as we do from time to time, I came across these four words in the 17th chapter of Luke. Lord, increase our faith. And at the time, I just kind of passed over it, and I thought to myself, you know, this would make a good topic for a convention sometime, but not for the close of 6 days of convention. You know, after 6 days of gathering together, why are the brethren going to need to hear about faith? So I kind of passed over it and didn't think too much about it for a few days, but after a few days and a few weeks, the thoughts of these words kept coming back into my mind. Lord, increase our faith. And the more they came back to my mind, the more I began to realize that maybe this was a message we should be reminded of at the close of a convention. You know, if we look at this week that we've been together and compare it to maybe one of our more typical typical weeks of our life, weeks of our year, and for most of us that's a work week. If we compare this week to our typical work week, which requires more faith? I think you would all agree that that typical work week generally requires much more faith than a week of gathering here together in convention. Now, every day requires faith. We live by faith. But comparatively speaking, we need a lot more of it when we're out there in the world, don't we? Our work week is full of the little trials and difficulties and problems of life, of the job, and of this world. And it requires a good measure of faith for us to successfully go through those days and weeks of our life. A week of convention is easy to go through, isn't it? It didn't take a lot of sacrifice or suffering for us to gather here together this week. Now, maybe it did to get here. Maybe we sacrificed for the whole year in order to just get here. But once we were here, it didn't take a lot of faith for us to gather here, didn't it? It has been said that the gathering together with our brethren in such places as this is as close as we can get on this side of the veil to what the other side will be like. And we feel that's the case. Because it is in these kinds of conditions that we've had for this past week that the new creature thrives. The new creature would love to stay right here forever until we're called home beyond the veil. The new creature doesn't want to leave. It's suited to this kind of condition, except for the fact that there are more lessons to be learned, aren't there? For 6 days, we have heard, talked, and lived nothing but the spiritual things, for the most part. And so, there has not been too many experiences this week which would severely try our faith. The things that normally try our faith, our job, the world, our environment, our neighbors, the problems that we have in daily life, we didn't bring them here with us. Or we shouldn't have brought them here with us. We left them behind. But you know, since this week has perhaps been a little respite for the application of our of faith in our lives, we might get to feeling a little bit easy. We might get to be feeling a little bit good about ourselves because our life has been so easy this week. But what about a couple of days from now? What about Monday when a lot of us have to go back to the job? Get back to an office piled high with work and get a phone call from our boss that wants something done that he wanted done while we were here, but we weren't there to do it. What's our faith going to be like then? We could be in for a rude awakening, but it does not have to be that way, brethren. We do not have to leave this place and leave everything that we've received this week here in Chattanooga. We can take these things with us and use them in the days, in the weeks, and the months ahead. Our faith structure can be said to be developed along two primary lines. And many times these two lines are interrelated, but we'd like to just separate them for the purpose of these thoughts this evening. First of all, we have those kinds of experiences that we would term learning experiences. Experiences such as this convention, this gathering for 6 days, where the Lord kind of takes us away from many of the cares of this life and puts us in an ideal environment in which we can learn, in which we can just soak up, as I think someone said in a testimony this week, soak up like a sponge things from the Lord's Word. These are learning experiences that help to develop our faith structure and to increase it. The other type of experience which further develops this faith structure is what we would term application experiences. These are the experiences which primarily come in our day-to-day walk of life. Now, we've probably had a few of those here. But for the most part, the application experiences in our life are those that go on day after day in the normal daily life that we all live. our life in the home, in the job, with our neighbor, our daily life. The learning experiences which God provides, He does so to help prepare us for the more difficult application experiences. Those experiences which will indeed prove our faith. Will indeed prove whether or not what we have learned is in our heart, is in our whole being to be carried out from day to day. This statement of the disciples to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith," is one of the few recorded uses of faith in the Gospels. Now, that might surprise you. The word faith appears some 245 times in the Bible, which is a lot of uses. In the Old Testament, faith only appears in two places. And even in the four Gospels, the word faith only appears 29 times. 214 out of the 245 uses of faith are in the writings of the New Testament subsequent to the day of Pentecost. I think that tells us something. I think it tells us that faith was certainly to be a fundamental doctrine of this gospel age, and one which would require the begetting of the Holy Spirit to truly understand and to apply in one's life. Now, that's not to say that those faithful ones of old did not have faith. We know they did. The Apostle Paul spends an entire chapter in Hebrews telling us about the faith of those faithful ones of old. But in our case, our entire covenant relationship with God as His sons, they were only servants. We are sons of God, and this relationship is based upon faith. When the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, I think it's fairly evident from this request that they really didn't, as of yet, have a correct understanding of how faith would be developed. Because there wasn't any magical way or miraculous way that Jesus could increase their faith. You know, they had been watching Jesus perform the various miracles, the healing of the sick and the blind and the lame and so forth. And I guess it came kind of natural to them that, well, maybe in some miraculous way He can increase our faith too. He seems to be able to do these other things. But Jesus realized that, no, this was not the way their faith was going to be increased. And in realizing that, He really didn't answer their question. He gave kind of a vague comment to their question. He said that, well, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might be able to say to this tree over here, be thou plucked up by the root and be moved to another place, be moved into the midst of the sea. And I'm sure they didn't understand that either. But the point is, Jesus realized that the increasing of their faith would come not through some miracle which He would perform on their behalf, but it would come just as it had come in His life, through learning experiences and application experiences. And they realized this after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them. They realized that faith was not something tangible that could just be increased and decreased. It really became a way of life. a way of life centered in learning and applying, learning and applying. And so it is with us. The increasing of our faith structure is a constant building process. We learn a little bit here and a little bit there. We apply it in this experience and in that experience. And as these kinds of experiences continue throughout our life, our faith structure becomes stronger and stronger. As we said, this week primarily has been a week of learning experiences. Well, what have we learned? What have we received this week that is going to help us increase our faith when we get back into these other kind of application experiences in a few days? I've been keeping a few statistics this week. I deal with numbers in my job almost constantly. And I've been jotting down a few statistics as this week has gone along. I'd like to share some of them with you. During the past 6 days, we have listened to over 20 hours of messages from this platform. We have heard over 2 hours of vespers and melodies of praise to the Heavenly Father. We have had 4 hours of testimony meetings. And I even tried to keep track of those who testified, and I lost count, but I would guess that maybe there was about 70 to 75 who testified this week. We had over 27 hours of planned fellowship this week. And that's not counting what fellowship we had coming here or in the evening after the convention was over each day. Those are just our intermissions and our dinner periods. Over 27 hours of fellowship. If you add all those up, you get over 53 hours of spiritual learning and blessing. What have we received this week to increase our faith? Well, we've received 53 hours of something. And I think for the most part, and I would even go further than that, I think all of this time that we have spent here together has been profitable for the increasing of our faith. There was another statistic that I was going to try to keep. I wanted to just see how many scriptures would be cited by the speakers during this convention. And believe me, if you ever have tried to do that, it's almost impossible. Now, I missed two or three talks because of various responsibilities, but the talks that I was here for, which was the majority, no matter how hard I tried to concentrate and listen, I just couldn't get all the scriptures. But I did get a lot of them, and the ones that I got totaled about 300. And I'm sure there was probably 100 more than that that I missed. The point is, we've had a great abundance of spiritual food given to us. Whether you want to figure it in hours or scriptures or words or whatever. What are we going to do with it? The hours have pretty much passed by. The scriptures have been read. Are we going to forget about it? Are we going to leave the echoes of this convention in this meeting hall? I certainly hope and trust that that is not the case. If we did, this week would have been a waste. To leave what we have learned, what we have heard, what we have shared together in this place is not going to help the city of Chattanooga one bit. But it is going to help us if we take it with us. And it's not that we're going to be able to remember everything and every moment of this week. Our minds are unable to do that. But just think of how pleased the Heavenly Father would be if we would be able to say, let's say maybe 2 weeks from now, maybe we get into a difficult experience in our job. And let's say that we're able to recall to mind very quickly maybe something that was said at this convention, whether it be from the platform or maybe a testimony, something that can be of help to us in that very experience. And we say, oh, yes, I learned something about that at Chattanooga, and I'm going to try to apply that lesson, that learning experience, now in this application experience. I think the Lord would be very pleased if we were able to have that kind of reaction to whatever the trial or difficulty might be. Our faith can be very powerful. In a companion scripture to the Luke account, we find in Matthew 17 and verse 20, where Jesus says that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be so. And it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, if we just read that scripture, we get a sense of how powerful faith can be, but, you know, faith to move mountains, well, that's kind of just an illustration, isn't it? Well, let's think about it for a minute. A number of years ago, we witnessed, either through television or newspaper, through the news media, a literal removing of part of a mountain out there in Washington, Mount St. Helens. We all remember that. And how the top of that mountain was literally removed. I mean, it just completely blew apart. And it was removed into yonder place. And it has been said that that is one of the greatest natural forces that has ever been witnessed on this earth. And I don't remember what the equivalent was in nuclear bombs or missiles, but it was a very, very powerful force and energy that caused the top of that mountain to be completely moved. And that was only the top of a mountain. Imagine the power that would have been exhibited if that entire mountain would have been blown away. But you know, our Lord says that our faith can be just that powerful. Our faith can be so powerful that it not only would remove the top of a mountain, but it could just blow that entire Mount St. Helens or any other mountain completely away into yonder place. Dear friends, that is a powerful faith. But our faith can only be that powerful if we are both learning and applying what we have learned. When we opened this convention, in the welcome address, we were welcomed to the mountain of the Lord. And we've been on that mountain for 6 days. But you know, I've heard it said in the past, and I've probably said it myself, that when we leave the convention, we go back down off the mountain. back into the valley. Dear brethren, we are never in the valley. We are always on the mountain of the Lord. As the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:6, we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The world is in the valley. We are never in the valley. Oh yes, our flesh does go through the valley of the shadow of death even. But the new creature, which is where we are striving to dwell in the spirit of our minds, is always upon the mountaintop. And so as we leave this convention, let us stay on that mountain. Through our experiences, as we go back into our jobs or whatever our daily responsibilities are, let's take this mountain with us. Let's live in the spirit of this gathering. You know, another way we could apply the phrase moving mountains is in this very way. We can move the mountain of this convention with us. We can take its memories. We can take its lessons with us and use them. And by doing that, we will, in essence, remain on the top of this mountain experience. Wherever we go, whatever we are doing. As we look out to this group of the Lord's people, we realize that the gatherings of the Lord's people on this side of the veil are gradually getting a little smaller, aren't they? We can't hide from that fact. It's true. The gatherings on the other side of the veil are getting larger. Our brethren are slowly finishing their courses. And you know, as we see our dear brethren finish the course of this life, in some ways it saddens our hearts because we miss them. And there's nothing wrong with that reaction. We miss those that have finished their course. We want to be with them. But how do we want to be with them? Do we want them to be back here with us? No, we don't. We want to be where they are. We want to be with our Lord and our Heavenly Father. And with all those that we have known in our lives. And just think of all the ones that we haven't known. The apostles, the early church, the other 11. That's where we want to be. And so as we see our numbers perhaps decreasing a little bit from year to year, let it not discourage us, but rather let it spur us on to finish our course in joy, so that we might help by being faithful to increase the numbers on the other side, so that eventually all of the 144,000 will be gathered together with their Lord. And we don't really know what the other side is going to be like. Are we going to have conventions like this? I don't know. But whatever kind of gatherings we're going to have on the other side, we can be sure they're going to be wonderful. And for sure, we're not going to have to worry about our rooms or the food or the steps. that we can imagine as we're gathered together there, whatever that condition is going to be like, in a great convention, being welcomed to that convention by our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And perhaps some of the first speakers that we will hear are those 12 apostles to tell us some of their experiences that they had. Maybe some that weren't recorded in the Scriptures that we don't even know about. This is our prospect. This is our hope. Your hope and mine. In order for this hope to become a reality, though, we must have our faith structure increased through the experiences of all kinds, whether they be conventions or whether they be trials, whether they be joys or whether they be sorrows, that altogether these experiences might serve the intended purpose of taking us to that goal. I know it was the desire of each one of us as we came to this place that this convention would bring us a little closer to that goal. I think that it has, dear friends. But as we leave here, let us remember the sentiments of our theme text, those things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in one another during this convention. Let's do them. Let's get to work in our daily experiences. Let's get to work and apply these things quickly as we go forth. The time is short for the making of our calling and election sure. Not a moment should be wasted. We should arise from this place and leave with a renewed determination and zeal to finish our course with joy. And finally, dear brethren, we just want to express to each of you, and I'm sure that you would want to express to each other, so we're going to just take it upon ourselves to express it for every one of you, our love for our Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus, and for each one in this room, and for all of the Lord's people everywhere throughout the world. And as we think of one another as we will be parting in the next few hours or in the morning, we'd like to leave each other with the beautiful words from the 6th chapter of Numbers, which were stated earlier this week, but which we'll repeat again. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.